All right.
All right, well, my name is Chris.
My name is Lindsay.
Go ahead, rest of you guys, introduce yourself.
Kyle.
Oh, gentlemen.
John.
Your resident Brit, John.
Okay, I'm ready.
And Brennan?
Yes.
All right, well, there's Brennan here as well.
What a horrible intro.
Hello.
Sorry. Well, this is Marooners Rock, and this is our podcast, Marooners Talk. Welcome to episode zero, titled A Hedgehog Named Frank. We're just going to talk about whatever it is that you see on the site and anything that happens to interest us this week. So, let's get into it.
Okay. So, let's see. We should probably do a little introduction about who everybody is and kind of like what they do. So, sweetie, you want to start?
Yes. Well, my name is Sweetie. I'm sorry.
My name is Chris. You.
We're going to have to mark this as explicit in iTunes.
I know.
My name is Chris. I am co-founder of the site, and I run a lot of the technical stuff behind the scenes. I play games, I watch movies, I read books, I listen to music, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's not a lot to me. So, Sweetie.
Okay. Well, I'm Lindsay. I am co-founder of the site as well, married to Sweetie Chris over here. And thank you. You forgot that you're married to me. This is awesome. Woohoo. but yeah, I do PR. I do a lot of the community interaction type stuff, writing. I pretty much have the same interests as Chris, although we do have the Star Wars versus Star Trek arguments, but you know, whatever. And then we have our guys, over here. So we'll start off with Brennan.
Hello. Not much really interesting about me. I play all kinds of video games, on the site. Right now I've been doing lots of iPad reviews.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually been getting really fun. And I guess I'm just pretty fucking weird.
Nice. You'll fit right in. Woo. And then Kyle.
I'm Kyle. I try not to annoy you. That's pretty much it.
A valiant effort. a very valiant effort. And much appreciated.
Yeah.
And then we have our nice little foreigner, Jonathan.
Hello, Governor.
thank you.
I think I cover some PS3 and iPhone stuff, and also try not to annoy people.
And both of you, you and Kyle, you achieve that. So thank you.
Through activity, maybe. I'm not sure.
I do try to annoy.
Thanks.
And sometimes
that's why
I succeed.
No one likes you.
Okay, now for the rest of our staff who's not here, we have Sammy, who's our editor and who is our female Canadian. We have Ahmed. He lives out here in California. He's a writer. We have Austin from Nebraska. Let's see, we have Ben. Kyle, that's your friend.
Yep, who I have to see in a few minutes. But
yeah, I was going to say you're a little screwed on that. Let's see, we have Josh. He's not here, but he's also from Mariel, England. And then we have Philip, our other Canadian. all right. So,
first, the death of Johnny Blaze.
Fuck you. It's Johnny Storm.
Oh, now you get the difference. All right, we're good then. Johnny Storm, Human Torch. He dies. He died. He's dead. Thoughts?
Well, of course, it's not going to last.
I don't think it'll last. I never do.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, with the fact that they're restarting the entire series numbering, perhaps they are going to stick with it this time until sales don't do very well and they decide to reverse it. But I'm sure their intention at this point is to stick with it.
Well, let us also remember the late 90s and when they restarted the numbering for, like, Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, I think, and all that other stuff. And that lasted for, like, a year. And then they're like, no, this isn't working. So they just retconned all that away and they started the numbering where it should be again.
Yeah,
comic book people are really fickle.
Well, I mean, the issue where he bit the dust... That came out this week, and then next week is supposed to be issue 588, which is going to be the last one. And then right after that, in March, they're going to start with issue one. And, you know, I kind of agree with Kyle that I don't think it's going to last very long. I think, you know, as unlikable as a Human Torch is, especially the movie version of him, I don't think that it's going to stay that way for long. I think it's one of the main appeals with the Fantastic Four is that family aspect and how they all work together and the relationships between, you know, everybody, how there's the brother-sister relationship with him and Sue, you know, having to do, like, with a brother-in-law with Reed and everything. And so I think losing that core dynamic, I don't know. I, you know, I very well could be wrong, so I don't know. I don't know. But I guess we're just going to have to wait and see.
I mean, I do kind of want them to keep him dead, actually, and that goes, that's not connected to how I actually feel about the character. It's just that for once, I would like to see a comic book character's death stick and, you know, have the world progress from there. It's like, oh, my God, Johnny Storm's dead. What's going to happen now?
Right.
Because he was, like, the first Marvel Silver Age character. And so if he's dead, then nobody is safe from being dead.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, they very well could do that. I just think that by basing it off of the way that they've conducted themselves in the past, that it's not going to really happen. But, I mean, you know, I very well could be wrong. Obviously, I don't work at Marvel, so I don't know what their plans are. I mean, if I worked at Marvel, shit, I'd fix a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Spider-Man might be married again.
Yeah.
Make a reverse deal with the devil.
Yeah. Well, we already know how Kyle feels about that. But, I mean, and then in other comic news, we do have the Batman movie casting choices. Kyle, you wrote that really great article about why we should trust Christopher Nolan, you know, and everything that he's going to be doing in the third Batman movie. And, you know, you brought up some really valid points, you know, basically bringing up Nolan's track record, how he learns from his mistakes, which unfortunately a lot of filmmakers and a lot of directors, they don't do that. But a lot of people are really questioning his current casting choices with Anne Hathaway as Catwoman and then Tom Hardy. He was recently seen in Nolan's Inception and he's going to be Bane. So, I mean, for the rest of you guys, like, how do you feel about that?
I'm not quite sure. Is Catwoman supposed to be a villain in this, right?
No one knows yet, but going by what Catwoman is in the comics, I also can't tell you because she's been so many things in the comics. She's like an anti-hero now. So
I'd kind of like to see Anne Hathaway do that because normally she plays this happy, giggly, girly characters, and it'd be fun to see her in something where she's a villain and she's just doing something she doesn't normally do as an actress.
Yeah. And Catwoman's an ex-prostitute, so you got that.
That's true. Well, I mean, Chris and I, we were talking about, we just saw her in Love and Other Drugs, the movie that she did last year with Gyllenhaal.
Boobs.
Yeah, boobs. Dude, she has a pretty good rack on her.
Nice set of knockers.
Yeah, so, you know, suit up.
Let's see Eva Green. As long as she's in the film, I'm kind of happy, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be good. And then, you know, a lot of people are questioning with Tom Hardy because of his frame. He can get a little lanky. But there was this one movie that he did. I can't remember what it's called, but he packed on like 40 pounds of muscle for it. So clearly, you know, he has the capacity to have the frame and to have the bulk of Bane and stuff. And plus, I think Nolan knows what he's doing. He's worked with Hardy before, and I think, you know, I don't know Christopher Nolan, but from his track record, you kind of can get an idea of, you know, the way a person thinks. So I don't know. I think it'll be good. The Batman series that Nolan has done so far is really, really good. And it's what the Batman franchise needed because, well, we know how the other half of the Batman story ended. And that just was not good.
The last movie that had Bane in it, which, oh my God, so many ice puns. Yeah,
cool,
I was just,
party.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age. Yeah. You're not sending me to the cooler.
Oh God, and that guy was running the state of California.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, but yeah, I was just about to say, for casting for the new Batman movie, I mean, anyone who's upset about any of these choices, just remember, we had Heath Ledger as the Joker. Mm-hmm. And when that was announced, nobody thought he was going to do a good job. And then we saw the first picture of him and we're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then we saw the first footage of him and we're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think by this point, Christopher Nolan has shown us that he pretty much knows what he's doing. And I mean, he could have cast Queen Latifah as Bane and I would have been like, all right. Let's see where this is going.
Before or after he topped himself? I mean, did you see that footage of the Joker before he topped himself?
No.
Because that kind of added quite a lot of mystique, I think, to the role. And it more impetus, I think.
Mm. Well, I don't know. It sucked because I really, really thought, well, okay, when I heard that Heath Ledger was going to be doing the Joker, I was one of those people going, huh? Seriously? But then when I saw the movie, I was like, holy fuck. I mean, like, what we had just witnessed, the performance from Ledger, it's something that we're never going to see ever again. I mean, he really put everything that he had into it. I mean, you know, and it eventually, ended, you know, it ended up killing him, which is really, really unfortunate. Because who knows what would have come out from him from that experience. But it was just fucking batshit crazy watching him. I mean, when I was watching it on screen, I'm like, okay, I'm watching the Joker. I'm not watching Heath Ledger. I'm actually watching the Joker. And I don't know, it was a fucking mind-blowing.
Yeah, that did what no other superhero movie has done for me. It made me nervous. Like, I know Batman can't die, but watching Heath Ledger, I'm like, holy shit, how's Batman? Whoa, look at that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Yeah,
I thought the Joker was as cool as Batman in that film, maybe cooler. Like, you kind of almost, hey, you kind of wanted to see what he could do to Batman. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would have.
Or anything, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I know that a lot of people would probably be like, what the fuck, for me saying this, but I would totally would have been cool if, like, he would have killed Batman.
Oh, yeah.
And then it would have been like the Joker show, because I was rooting for the Joker. Oh, man. But, I don't know. It's so fucking crazy. It was so good.
I think that Aaron Eckhart had a very underrated performance in that movie, though. I think he did a phenomenal job as Harvey Dent.
He did.
And he was overshadowed by Heath Ledger.
Yeah, he was. And it kind of makes you wonder if Heath hadn't have died, you know, would he have received all the attention that he did? And I think he would have because the performance speaks for itself. But I think because he died and because of all the attention that it gave, it did contribute into Eckhart being overshadowed. And, you know, Maggie Gyllenhaal did a much better job than Katie Holmes, but I think a paper bag could do a better job than Katie Holmes.
Yeah.
Well, the character wasn't written well in the first one. I mean, they actually gave her something to do in Dark Knight, so that could have had something to do with it.
That's true. That's true. But in other violence news, have you, do any of you guys watch Spartacus?
What is that?
Which channel is that on?
Joker? I am.
No, it's on Stars.
Oh, wow. I should actually watch
that. Which one?
Stars.
I don't know. I just know that it says it's on Stars.
Stars. It's gotta be on one of them.
Yeah. Somebody plays Resident Evil.
Hi.
That's right. Yo, no, that was a really good one, though. Don't get me started. No, Spartacus, though, it's so damn good. The first season it ended, and then they were going to do season two, and then the main actor, he ended up having he has cancer right now, so they recast, but they're doing this little 6-episode prequel, and Chris and I have been watching it so far. The second episode comes on tonight, and it's pretty fucking awesome. What do you think, sweetie?
I like it a lot. It does try to get most of it historically accurate as far as the timing, and that there have been a few glaring issues, such as having a Carthaginian as a main cast member.
Barca.
Yeah, he's the last surviving member of the fall of Carthage, but Carthage would have fallen decades before this took place. So,
right.
But I mean, it's just little things like that that throw it off. But otherwise, I think it does a really good job. The violence is very over the top. The blood effects are obviously computer generated.
But it's cool. It fits.
Yeah, but I mean, it fits the style and tone of the show.
Yeah.
I've seen some commercials for it, and I'm like, wow, they made a 300 series.
No, no, seriously, like it really, really reminds me of that. And then,
although there's not as much slow motion.
No, there's not, which is good.
Not nearly as much.
Yeah, we could tell that Zack Snyder didn't get his hands on this. Yeah. No, but Lucy Lawless, she's one of the main characters.
And oh, if you want to see Xena's boobs, you watch Spartacus.
Yes. Yeah, there's a
this
lot
is
of
old Xena's boobs now.
Do but she still holds up very well.
Yeah, dude, she's still got it. Seriously. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we saw her in the first season. We saw, like, a lot of boobs. It was, she was just naked a lot. There's a lot of sex in it, so, you know, right on.
Yeah. You know what would have been perfect casting for some of the women that she gets it on with? The actress who played Gabrielle in Xena. Because people have been wanting to see that. And they were so upset by the tease job that was Xena Warrior Princess. That would have gotten so many fans and such great ratings if they had made that casting choice.
Well, in the first episode that aired last week, we see her getting a little doped up off of opium and then, you know, her doing a little lesbian scene with her friend Gaia. So, you know.
So, you know, good quality programming.
Yeah.
So Spartacus should just be called Lesbians! Exclamation point. Also with Spartacus.
That's
lesbians.
Yeah, but I mean,
gonna turn into a musical.
Lesbians.
That could be a damn good musical. I'd go see that musical.
I think everybody would go see that musical.
I'd see it 15 times
in a row. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Rome, but it was a show on HBO, really, really fucking good, about Julius Caesar, Mark Antony, you know, that period of Rome. It only aired for 2 seasons, but, I mean, the production quality was just fucking amazing. Each episode cost $6 million, which is what led to the show only lasting 2 seasons. But Spartacus, it really fills that void. And then the upcoming, there's Pillars of Earth, which already aired, which deals with, what is it, King Henry the First, and then that battle for the throne that happens afterwards.
The anarchy.
Yeah. Game of Thrones, which is based on some novel, is going to be coming out, and it has Sean Bean.
Ooh.
And you know what? Sean Bean dies.
Yeah.
How many arrows go into him this time?
Yeah, exactly.
Because he's Sean Bean.
Yeah.
Sean Bean dies.
In almost everything, yeah. Well, then there's Camelot, and I know you're not too keen on that, which, you know, it has a Ralph Fiennes in there as Merlin, and
here's the thing. I'm a very big fan of the Merlin stories, the Arthur stories, and to me there are 2 ways that it can be done, only.
Hmm.
Anything other than that is wrong, just flat out wrong, and I have a feeling that this is going to end up being flat out wrong. So.
Yeah. Well, and then I don't know if you guys have played Assassin's Creed Brotherhood or Assassin's Creed 2, but there's this new show coming out this spring on Showtime. It's going to be called The Borgias, and it's about, you know, Cesare and you know, the whole family.
Pope Alexander.
Yeah, Pope Alexander. I can't remember who. Oh, Juan Borgia. It's going to be really, really good. I'm really excited for it. But if any of you watch The Tudors, a lot of the people who worked on The Tudors are going to be working on The Borgias. And The Tudors was a fantastic series about King Henry VIII, you know, all the wives that he went through. I mean, he went through his women. It was fucking crazy. Is it the same what?
Same production company.
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty well done, right?
Yeah.
True to the period and all that sort of stuff. Like,
yeah, that seemed pretty cool. Yeah, obviously, well, it was
other than the fact that they all have immaculate teeth, immaculate hair, immaculate skin, they're not all covered in shit. Other than that, yeah, it's pretty accurate to the era.
Yeah.
Every time he's getting on, you must wonder, geez, what did it smell like?
Yeah.
I know. No, seriously. And then you have to think, there was no protection when you're having sex back then. How many diseases did they have? Did it burn they peed?
Like, I think women stuck, like, lemons or something up there.
No, I just love it how you're, like, up there.
You know.
Man. We have to maintain a certain level of class and quality, so I appreciate that.
And we don't want to throw out too much of the raunch in the first episode.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because then everybody... Yeah, because we're like, oh, bye-bye, listeners. Yeah.
Listeners we'd want anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But now, I don't know. There's just something about those kind of TV shows, you know, Spartacus, The Tudors, Borgias, Rome, all that. It just, it's so good. And it's good TV. It has good stories. It's not a lot of the drivel that is really popular and shit like
Jersey
that.
Jersey Shore.
I know, dude.
Stop bringing that up.
Don't get me started. I swear to God, as a person who has Sicilian background,
it's your people.
It is not my fucking people.
I don't know what a snooky is. I just know I want it dead.
You and the rest of the world.
I saw that program once. I thought it was a joke. I thought like they were actors.
No.
No, I think that's
they're going to Italy. You know that. The next series, they're going to Italy.
I know. I don't know what Italy did to deserve it, but I feel so sorry.
Isn't it why they went to the East Coast in the first place?
They
got expelled.
So. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, why don't you just send them to England?
Yeah, we'll have them.
Oh, man, you could just throw them in the Thames.
You don't need them. You've already got the in-betweeners.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Mm. Making
oh, man.
We only watched the first, what, two or three episodes of that?
Yeah, two or three episodes, yeah.
We haven't had a chance to watch more.
No, uh-uh. But we watched Little Britain sure. Like it was going out of style.
But I will agree, his mother was quite fit, as they say.
Oh, yeah. No, she was good looking. And she was damn good looking. Well, there was something that we talked about earlier, before we started recording this podcast, and there's this story going around that Xbox Live has banned and removed the gamer score for this 11-year-old boy who's autistic, claiming that he was cheating because his gamer score was high and he had over 1,500 achievements. It's causing this big deal because, you know, he's an 11-year-old kid, and I'm not saying that kids at that age won't cheat, but the mother was saying, you know, that she knows for a fact that the son wasn't cheating. You know, she tried to contact Microsoft for a few weeks, and when she did get a response, it was just a bunch of legal mumbo jumbo about their policies and what they do and, you know, why they do what they do. And I guess they're not going to go ahead and revoke the decision that they made. So, I mean, do you think that, I mean, yes, there are cheaters on Xbox Live. There are modders. You know, we know for a fact, if you've played a video game, you know for a fact that it does happen with online gaming. So, you know, if Microsoft is in the wrong on this, do you think that they should do something about it? Or, you know, do you think that, no, that's their decision? Do you think that, you know, maybe it's being made into more of a story because the child is autistic? I mean, what do you guys think?
Oh, that one, definitely. I mean, this one, banning a guy for not... or for cheating, that wouldn't be any big deal unless, you know, he was autistic. That's the only reason people are paying attention to this. But the kid cheated. I mean, I'm looking at an article right here. Autistic Xbox player's mother admits he cheated.
Oh.
The kid cheated.
Hmm. Well, that solves that problem.
Well, that solves that, yeah. Then.
Well, the thing of it is now you can argue, is it okay because the kid's autistic? Did he actually, you know, understand the full implications of things and everything? And that's just beating around the bush. The kid cheated. His Chivo's got to go bye-bye now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and I'm not saying to be easy on the kid, you know, because he is autistic, you know, and I'm not trying to say that, you know, oh, he knows everything that he's doing because he is autistic. I mean, you know, depending on the severity of his autism, you know, I don't know the kid, so I can't really say that, you know, yes, this is, you know, how severe his autism is, this and that, this is what he, you know, they don't do this, you know, you can do this, a level of consequences and stuff. But I think that, you know, if he was cheating, whether he knew it or not, some action should be taken, just because if I did it, or if somebody got on my Xbox and did it, or if it happened to you or whatever, there'd be no leniency for us. And it's really unfortunate because it's probably going to go ahead and spark off a debate about, you know, Xbox Live and Microsoft, you know, being biased and this and that, you know, and discrimination. And, you know, if the kid cheated and if the mother has admitted that he's cheated, then there's no issue. There's no case. There's nothing that she should try to fight, because had her child come out, I don't want to say normal, but if he did not have autism, it wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, I mean, what people are focusing on here is his mental capacities and his situation, not the fact that he cheated. I mean, right. Microsoft is not going after the kid because he's autistic, and they're not making a judgment call about him as a person. They're just mm-hmm. saying, yo, you cheated. You got to give all those points back.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, and it's only fair. It really is. It's only fair. I mean, I just hope that Microsoft and, you know, Xbox Live, that they don't take the fall for it and get labeled as the bad guy. Because if, you know, somebody does look into the story and stuff like that, they will find out that, you know, okay, what the kid did was wrong.
Here's the thing. If anyone's going to take the fall as the bad guy for this, it should be the boy's mother for lying about him not having cheated in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to make an issue out of it and make it seem as if it's an autism issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the problem is. Because before you brought up that he actually had been cheating, we had no idea. We hadn't read the rest of it. We hadn't read anything else about it.
The article follow-ups? I'm looking at was posted at 1:15 today. So.
Oh, okay. Oh. Yeah, the last time we looked about it was a few days ago, so I guess that's a new development. But, I mean, you know, I've known people that have autism, you know, and, I mean, they're fantastic, you know, people. There really is nothing to discriminate when somebody does have autism. I mean, hell, if anything, there are some of them that if you ask them a question about a movie, they'll know everything about it.
My cousin is Rain Man about movies.
Yeah. But no, and I mean, I think it's absolutely incredible because there's no way that I would ever be able to reach that level of knowledge, you know, on a subject the way that they can. So that's pretty awesome.
I think autism aside, kids compete with each other and they will cheat to just prove to their friends that they're better than the rest of them. And
yep.
It's a class system, and in the sense of like it's a competition, and they go, look, I've got loads of achievements, and you know, that's how they get praise in their peer groups, regardless of his disability.
Now we're getting into the subject of achievements in general, and personally, they're just kind of stupid to me.
No, they're not.
I don't care about achievements or trophies or anything like that. Like, who really gives a shit that I killed all the little animals in Red Dead Redemption or anything?
I do.
See, I barely care.
The way I look at them is it gives you something else to do after you've beaten the game. Like, I try not to pay attention to them when I first play through, just so I get the full experience and I'm not worried about trying to collect achievements as I go. And then afterwards, it gives me something to do, like go back and like, okay, finish this level this fast.
Yeah, for me, it's like a little check mark. Like on the Grand Theft Auto games, I have a little check mark for how much 100% you've completed. And for me, the achievements serve basically that. It's like, have I done all these things? Yes, I have. Okay, the game's officially over now. But I don't care if people can look at them and see them and be like, oh, did you see that? Kyle got 100%. And I'm like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, but it taps into that competitiveness that we all have. Because for the longest time, Chris and I, we would have it between us because we share the same Xbox. Oh, do you have a higher gamer score than I do? And it's like, yeah, or vice versa. I mean, now I don't care because my gamer score is higher than a bunch of people on my friends list. Well, so that's where my focus is.
Now you don't care because you've fallen quite a bit behind my gamer score.
Yeah, because you were playing more than I was, and then you were also playing games where it was easy to get achievements. Kadoosh.
I think you're right, Lindsay. I think I care more about the people on my friends list and their score rather than sort of, you know, the world. Some, you know, you see all these people on the Call of Duty like leaderboards, and they, you know, they've got some ridiculous score, and everyone knows it's fake, but they don't care because they're number one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, when you see like somebody on your friends list and you can go ahead and like compare games on Xbox Live, you know, you kind of go like, hee hee, my score's higher than yours, or hee hee, I got more achievements. And it's kind of like the I'm a better gamer than you are type feeling, you know?
Which is patently stupid, but
I know, yeah. But it's awesome.
Addicting.
Yeah, I know.
To get us kind of back on topic, I had a question about when they had blocked the kid's achievements. Uh-huh. Did they block specifically his account or his Xbox or
IP address? It's the system. I believe they blocked the console. Because I remember, if I remember correctly, I was reading it and they were just like, you know, well, if you want to alleviate the issue, you could just go ahead and get a new console. But
give us money. The problem will go away.
Yeah, I think so. But I know that with the console, if the boy goes and plays other games, regardless if he does things to unlock the achievement, his gamer score will stay at zero. And they're talking about, oh, it's this big mark of shame, like a scarlet letter. Well, yeah, I guess I would like to know who's a cheater because I wouldn't want to play with them, you know?
According to an article I'm reading at the moment, it's saying the only actions that they're taking are to correct the player's current gamer score.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's just reset to zero temporarily.
Yeah, and then any other legitimate achievements he makes or gets account.
So probably going through and looking at the timestamp and seeing when he unlocked each one then.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I think that's what got them on it anyway.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know.
The timestamp thing.
Clever.
Lindsay's over here giving me dirty looks because I'm playing with a tape measure.
And you're making noise that goes into the background. Don't do it.
Speaking of tape measures, how about that PSP2?
Yeah.
Fucking huge.
That's a fantastic transition right there.
Oh yeah.
That was a beautiful segue.
Speaking of tape measures, I take it you're wanting to get the 3DS then.
Yes, actually. I'm starting to get eager.
Here's my problem with the PSP2 or the NGP, as it were. If it's supposed to be a mobile device, I'm going to be playing when I'm in a car, maybe, or I'm going to be playing when I'm just out somewhere walking or doing whatever. The touchscreen's on the back, the touchscreen on the front, the accelerometer style, you know, the motion control. I don't want all this stuff in a mobile device. I mean, on an iPhone, even on my iPhone, I don't really play that many touch or, you know, motion games.
Like Super Monkey Ball, that game on the iPhone, it's so fickle.
Yeah, so I don't bother touching those. If I have a mobile device, I just want my joysticks and I want my buttons so that I can actually get the best gameplay experience possible. And unfortunately, I feel that a lot of the developers are really going to push towards using the touch screens and the motion control and kind of take away the option of just playing a regular game.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with playing with a controller. It's almost like if you don't play with the Kinect or with the PS Move or if you don't like the new Wiimote, you know, you're trying to act like some, you know, stuck-up grandpa or you're behind the times. But there's nothing wrong with a controller, you know?
That's a marketing ploy there. I mean, that's just like the companies trying to extend the life of their consoles. You know, they've got a lot of work to do to get to the next generation to impress people. They've got to wait for people to get 3D TVs or this sort of stuff. You know, they're creating these new additions to their consoles and driving it really hard, and it's working.
Yeah.
I will say, though, there is nothing wrong with being a grumpy old grandpa because that damn neighbor's kid keeps coming onto our freaking lawn, and I just want to go out there and throw things at that kid to get her off my freaking
lawn. Right
now? No, not right now, but I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with being a grumpy old man.
Okay, because, I mean, I was about to do that Clint Eastwood get off my lawn type thing.
I'm Batman.
Yeah, exactly. No, but I mean, with the PSP2 news, because I mean, I was up and I watched the conference and stuff like that. And you know, I have to admit, even though it's probably something, I mean, I would want to own it, you know, to play it, because I'm pretty sure there are going to be some cool games that come out on it. And then also, I like to collect gaming things. But I really like the dual joystick that's on it. I mean, the position of it is a little weird because it's at the bottom, and the way that you're going to have to hold the device, it might be a little weird. I don't know. I'd have to get, like, a hands-on for it. But fuck, that thing is gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to get it because it has an Uncharted game on it, and
loves
me some Uncharted.
Mm. Yeah.
I have a problem with how far out the joysticks are. Like, I don't know. They seem too close. Like, you put your hand around it, and they're kind of like you're going to have to bend your thumbs sort of backwards to find the...
Yeah, if you have large hands.
Not really, and it still looks like too kind of squeezed in.
Mm. Mm.
Nope, I don't know. Anything would have to be better than the nub.
On the regular PlayStation, yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And it kind of makes you wonder, though, that... when you have the PSP 2 coming out And then when you have the 3DS coming out, I mean, 2011 really is going to be the year of the handheld, and we're going to see, because, you know, sadly for the PSP2, it was announced, you know, right now, and it's probably going to be hitting, you know, a holiday in Japan before it comes out into the U.S. So, again, we're going to see Nintendo get the leg up on everything. And, you know, could that potentially hurt the sales of the PSP2? Or, you know, because I know that there are, you know, the Sony fanboys. I know that there are the Nintendo fanboys. I know there are the people who will go ahead and just make a decision based on what they want at the time or what they feel is best for them, regardless of the company. But I think it could be, I don't think it's going to be one of those situations like when Sony released the PlayStation before Sega released the Dreamcast. Yeah. You know, how it ended up killing the Dreamcast, but I think it...
That's because the Dreamcast sucked.
Hey!
The Dreamcast was a beautiful, wonderful console that was underappreciated in its time.
Oh, we're going to get a lot of hate
what
mail.
What other console was thinking?
It was thinking. It was sentient. But here's the thing. I think the thing...
Disagree.
Huh?
I respectfully disagree.
Oh, the hate mail. I can hear it coming.
What other console could give you C-Man? That's right, none.
No, I mean, I can play Crazy Taxi. I can play Ready to Rumble. I can play Virtua Tennis until my friggin' thumbs fall off. I can play Power Stone.
And Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
Marvel vs. Capcom,
by the way, slight distraction here. Did you see the newly released remake of Crazy Taxi on PlayStation Network and Xbox Live, I think
Arcade.
It is?
Yeah.
I tried the demo,
but it doesn't have the song. They got rid of the song.
Oh, that's a remade version? I thought it was just like a ported...
Yeah, it's a port, but from I know, got rid of the Offspring song from it.
Oh, huh. I don't know.
It's good. It's like I hate Offspring.
Tony Hawk's iPhone got rid of the soundtrack as well. That sucks.
To go back,
but anyway, I think the problem that's going to hurt the PSP2 or the NGP most was the promise and failure, in my opinion, of the PSP. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a fool me once issue there, because I didn't like the PSP very much, so I'm not likely to buy a successor to it, especially after the PSP Go also.
That's actually what's holding me back from both the 3DS and the PSP2, because it's like the Wii I was really looking forward to, and I'm like, yeah, motion controls. And I played it, and most of the games, it's like, this isn't really necessary. And now I'm looking at the 3D stuff. I'm like, the 3D is going to be cool, but are they really going to be using it? And the PSP, we know what happened with the PSP, not really much, except for the God of War games came out that was really that good for it.
Well, I mean, I think, well, Kyle, you're going to be going to PAX East probably. You're going to be able to get a hands-on with the 3DS, so.
Yeah. Fingers crossed, hope.
Yeah. Well, actually, wait, no. PAX East is before the 3DS launch, I think.
I think so.
It's March. They might still have a demo unit.
Something.
Yeah, they probably, well, they're going to have to, because a bunch of games are going to be coming out for it. So, yeah, they're going to have to.
On that note, actually, Nintendo's not really putting out any first parties at launch. It's kind of sad.
Huh. Yeah, like, both Kid Icarus and Zelda are being delayed, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's March 27th, 2011 for the 3DS.
Yeah. I thought it was the 27th, but I didn't want to, you know.
Yep, it's the 27th.
Sounds stupid.
Yeah, pretty much.
The only game that they've got for it is Nintendogs, I think.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, I know nobody's going to want that.
But you know
what? Well, you see what audience they're targeting.
Exactly. And you know, I mean, that's okay, because you figure though, Nintendo, they have some stuff for the parents of the kids who grew up on Nintendo. You know, there's still the Mario, you know, you still have your Zelda, you know, and all this other shit. And you know, you kind of have to you really do have to throw the kids a bone, because, you know, while some parents might be fine with their kids playing Halo or whatever, there are going to be a lot of parents out there who are going to try to put their kids in bubbles and have them play, you know, Nintendogs and stuff like that, or
it's a family-friendly game,
right? Or, you know, have them play like Animal Crossing and stuff like that. Stop it. Sorry, I won't tell you what Chris was just doing.
But, family-friendly rating.
Yeah, I know. Okay, now Kyle, you said that you were downloading the Bulletstorm demo. Have you haven't played it, huh?
No, it's my PlayStation is off right now, so
okay.
It paused. But yeah, it's currently in the process of being on my PlayStation.
It's nice. Have you guys played it, Brennan, Jonathan?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you should.
It's a lot of fun.
It reminds me a lot of Mad World, actually.
I was gonna say that it has that similar points for creativity in the different ways you can defeat your enemies that Mad World had. It's just unfortunate that Mad World was a Wii only title.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that could have done very well on the 360, and possibly due to some of the similarities, kind of preempted Bulletstorm.
Yeah, but I mean, I really liked it because here's the thing, I hate Gears of War. I don't like it. I know. I can hear the hate mail coming for me now for saying that. But I don't like it. I don't like third-person shooters. I didn't like how clunky it was. And while I was really excited for I'm still excited for Bulletstorm, don't get me wrong, but I noticed that there was still a lot of that, you know, clunky movement, even though it was first-person. And I know that it's, you know, it's epic. I know that it's Cliff Bleszinski, Cliffy B. It's probably one of those things where because it's in first person, I might be able to forgive it and look past it. But I really couldn't tell based on, you know, the 10 minutes or so of the demo that I played. Or 4 minutes?
It was 4 minutes.
Oh, 4 minutes? Oh, okay. Look at me saying 10. God damn, it was a lot of fun, though. It really was one of those, you know, people talking about ripping off penises or, you know, shooting people in the ass. you know, just a bunch of, you know.
She really did try to get that ass shot thing down. I mean, she was going for it over and over.
Rear entry.
And over.
I wanted to get it. No, I don't think it was possible in the.
You have a weird butt fascination, you know that?
No, I don't.
That reminds me. Does anyone remember the John Woo Stranglehold game that came out a little while ago?
The John Woo what?
Stranglehold?
It's called Stranglehold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got the demo for that, and I discovered the only reason I love that game is because there's a move that it can slow down time, so you shoot a bullet out, and the camera follows the bullet and shows it going into wherever you shot someone. And so I decided to rename the game Slow Motion Crotch Shots the Game.
Nice. I want to try that now.
Because that's... Yeah, I mean, if you set it to easy, you start out, I think, with the slow motion ability. So I'm just going around and I'm slow motion crotch shot, slow motion crotch shot. Hey, you, guess what you get? Slow motion crotch shot. And it's just, it doubles the length of the demo with all the slow motion crotch shots. It's fantastic.
No, but you figure, nice. Though, there's nothing like making somebody into a eunuch.
Yeah.
I mean, really. That's
the Romans, the Romans would agree.
That's the gift that keeps on giving, or not. Kyle, I think you were talking about the Killzone beta, right? Killzone 3? Or was it Jonathan?
No, Jonathan.
No, Jonathan. Fuck.
Yeah, we're going to get it soon, right? Start of February?
I believe so.
I don't know, like, looking at the videos, maps look brilliant. They look, like, kind of sprawling and just, like, non-linear, which is what you sort of come to expect from Guerrilla. They want people coming from all angles, literally. In their multiplayer, you know, you're not safe anywhere.
Mm.
And some of the stuff I've seen some of the people in, like, the beta, I think if you had PlayStation Plus and you paid like £1.50 to download a background or something, you could, if you were like one of the lucky first 10,000, you could get early access to the beta.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the videos I've been seeing from that, these guys are like, it looks like they're enjoying themselves. I mean, you know, there's objective based game where you've actually got a sort of like scenario specific ones. So you can either be the Hellgast or the ISA, and you've got like certain different missions within that little online game to complete. And it's kind of, It just seems different. I don't know if you guys play any, you know, Call of Duty or anything like that.
No.
I don't like Call of Duty.
You got Demolition or something like that. You've just got like an A and a B. It's just like kind of repetitive, you know. But the mission points, the mission objectives in the Killzone beaters looks, they look kind of different depending on the map. So that kind of really caught my attention.
Now, the thing I want to know about the Killzone 3 beta is, will you be able to use the move with it? Because I heard that players that can use the move, it really helps them out, and I really want to try that out.
I don't know.
Yes.
No, the available in full game, but I don't know if that'll be available in multiplayer.
I think
it'll probably just be available in the single player.
From what I'm seeing, the Killzone 3 multiplayer open betas from February 2nd through 14th and will feature move and 3D capabilities.
Wow, oh, fantastic!
Yeah. I mean, I went to Eurogamer in Earls Court back in September, and I was lucky enough to have a go on the demo with the 3D TV. It looks fantastic. I don't know if you've seen any of the those like kind of flying bots, you know, mm-hmm. sort of brought those guys out, and you're fighting against those, and the AI is much more intelligent than it was in the last game. I mean, it was pretty damn good last one. And this time, you know, with the 3D as well, it's coming right at you. It's pretty immersive. I mean, I hope to have a 3D TV before it comes out.
Yeah. I mean, I played the first Killzone, like, ages ago, back on the PlayStation 2. And what I played, I genuinely liked it. I think, you know, at the time, I really just wasn't into shooters on the PS2. I was more into shooters on the Xbox. And it wasn't that I didn't like, you know, my PS2 because it was a fantastic console. There was just something about the controller, the S controller on, you know, the old Xbox for me. It was just because I have really tiny hands, and I know that even though the PlayStation controller is smaller, there was just something about the shape and everything like that that was just better for me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what little I've paid attention to regarding the Killzone franchise, you know, I will say that if somebody says, hey, what's a good shooter on the PS3, I will say Killzone. You know, because graphically it's always been top notch. I know that the gameplay has always been fantastic. You know, so with regards to that, you know, I think it really does say a lot if you can know very little about a game, but yet still be able to recommend it to people. I mean, clearly the company is doing something right.
I think it's got a lot of the style. Mm-hmm. It sets itself apart from probably quite a lot of the others. It doesn't set itself in, it doesn't try and copy a real life situation, doesn't try and copy a modern day, you know, war environment, and it just sort of adds. I think the whole reason why I'm really sort of an advocate of the series is it's sort of like adds that little bit of sort of sci-fi, you know, sort of old school kind of thing, but in a first person shooter environment. I love.
Yeah. Well, no, that's cool. I mean, eventually when we get a PS3, I'd like to go ahead and give it a go again, but we don't have one, so. But I know that Chris is really happy about one thing.
You know, I'm really looking forward to Anarchy Reigns.
Yep.
Announced recently, I guess yesterday, maybe day before yesterday, a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And it's Platinum Games, Bayonetta, Vanquish, two of the...
Mad World, I think.
And Mad World. And one DS game, I can't recall the name of it. But especially Bayonetta and Vanquish, which were two of, in my opinion, two of the best games out of 2010. Not saying they were the two best, but they were two of the best, in my opinion. And for them to be coming out with another one, this time a third-person multiplayer brawler, I'm really looking forward to it.
It's going to be awesome. I mean, dude, Platinum Games, I think they're one of those gaming studios where they don't get a lot of love. You know, Vanquish was absolutely fantastic. Graphically, it was gorgeous. Bayonetta was a lot of fun. And, you know, it was...
She had a hot ass, too.
Exactly. I was just about to say. you know, and then in the screenshots that we've seen for Anarchy Reigns, you could see the female character. She has the long legs like Bayonetta. She has a rear end like Bayonetta. Yep. So it's going to be nice. And it's one of those things where with Sega and Platinum Games, you know, you can't go wrong. You know that you're going to be getting a good game. And I mean, we are like fucking pumped about it. And it's just like we're eating up all the information right now. It's like, oh, do you have more? Okay, yes, give it to us. So this is definitely a game that we're going to be covering extensively with pride. And we hope all of you can get behind us and say, you know, yes, and make sure that it's a success, just because the studio, they really, really deserve it. But
just go by Vanquish.
And Bayonetta.
And Bayonetta, but go by Vanquish.
Yeah.
Anyone listening, go by Vanquish.
Yeah.
And Blur. That's not a Platinum Games game, but it's still underappreciated.
Right. But, well, we got a Twitter question on our at @marooners_rock Twitter account from Karen's HQ. And he's from England, Jonathan.
You might know him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a tiny island. I'm kidding. I bet it's nice and vast. He's wondering our opinions on how will the 3DS and the NGP compete against the growing portable gaming muscle of iOS?
Not at all.
You don't think so?
I think not at all.
Well, there you go.
iOS has got it.
Yeah, the iOS, you know, a lot of people, they underestimated what the iPhone can do in terms of, you know, apps and gaming and this and that. But, I mean, as we had seen with Infinity Blade, just how gorgeous an iPhone game can be. And, you know, with the iPad and stuff like that, and with all the innovation that Apple keeps doing year after year, even though people might say, you know, oh, it's only a little bit of this, a little bit of that, I think they're doing a really good job. And I think this is probably the first time in years that Nintendo is sweating and, you know, worrying about how it affects them.
Well, I think the iOS provides a very different functionality to the PSP and to the, you know, Nintendo's 3DS. If I want to just play a little casual game to kill some time, I'm going to pull my iPhone
Angry
out.
Birds.
Yeah, I'm not too fond of Angry Birds, but for example, something like Angry Birds, yeah, I'm going to pull my iPhone out because I can load the game in a second. I can just start playing it. And then when I'm done, I just hit the home button and I move on. I don't have to get this extra device out, swap the disc depending on what I'm playing, load the OS up, play it, put it away.
Right.
Yeah, it's amazing because someone out-casualed Nintendo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think regardless of that as well, like, you just got to look at market share. They've got most mobile users just by the balls, really.
Yeah.
The power for them to distribute and market their games and the I think the shift from mobile developers to, you know, from using or trying to use, you know, like PlayStation or Nintendo products and going to iOS is huge. And I think we're still to find out actually how many of them have actually, you know, swapped sides, so to speak.
Right. Well, I mean, you figure, you know, you got stuff from Capcom, you know, they've released games, Sega, they've gone and released games, THQ, EA, and I mean, and, you know, they're releasing, like, large titles, you know, they're doing stuff like Street Fighter, Super Monkey Ball, we're seeing, you know, like, The Sims, which is a massive, massive franchise for EA, all coming to, you know, the iPhone or the iOS devices, so... I think a lot of it has to do with maybe the simplicity of it all. For a lot of adults, you could go ahead and have a phone that does so much and yet also play games, so it's one less thing to have to carry. So I think that a lot of it, that's what it really boils down to, and the adults are the ones with the money. So, all right, we are starting to get a little close on time. So just a few last things that we're going to go ahead and do. We want to give a quick shout out to the 15 Minutes of Game podcast. Their URL, it's www.15mog.com. And you can find them on iTunes at 15 Minutes of Game.
You left out the dot after www. I don't want people to think it's www.15mog.
Oh, my bad.
Well, www.www.115. Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
That'd be a confusing URL.
http://.
Okay, 15 Minutes of Game run by Justin from Robot Entertainment and John from EA.
Mm-hmm.
It's www.15mog.com or 15mog.com.
Mm-hmm.
They had us as their community call out on episode 20 titled Rad Bromance.
Yeah.
very cool guys, very cool podcast, you know.
Yeah, and we also did a feature on Justin this past Monday, the Industry Insight, so we featured him on that. And I mean, it's a podcast, you know, roughly running about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, give or take. And they cover a lot of stuff. So, I mean, if you're wanting to work in the industry, if you're wanting to learn more about the industry, especially with community, you know, community relations, community events, you know, how to build up your site. I mean, both of those guys have been in the industry for years, and they, you know, Justin's worked on some big name titles, you know, John, he too has worked on some big name stuff.
Well, I mean, Justin's touched a whole lot of Medal of Honor. He's touched Gears of War. Sure. He's touched lots of stuff. And then John at EA has touched a lot of the Need for Speeds. Pretty much everything that EA has done except for Madden and one other piece.
Mm, yeah. So, I mean, these are two guys that, you know, while they might not be, you know, a big name like Cliffy B or something like that, the amount of knowledge that they have between the two of them is just insane. And, you know, like I said, if it's something that you want to get into, it's definitely worth listening to. And plus, it's just, it's a really fun, short, nice podcast. But before we go ahead and we actually wrap things up, why don't we just go ahead and take a couple of minutes, each of us, we could go ahead and talk about what we're currently, what we've been playing, what we're listening to, what we're watching, reading. So Jonathan, you go first.
I'm currently playing GT5. I'm struggling pretty hard with it. It's challenging. It's pretty fucking hard.
Well, it's Gran Turismo.
Yeah. And yeah, that's taking up most of my time. I'm reading Terry Pratchett at the moment, actually.
Hmm.
I should have read all of them before, but I haven't, so I'm doing my homework.
Mm. You call yourself British?
I know!
Okay, and so that's pretty much what you've been doing, Jonathan? I think that's a yes. So, Brennan, what have you been doing, like, this past week?
I've been mainly playing Luxor HD on the iPad.
And Mumbo Jumbo Games.
Oh, yes. Fantastic company. Aside from that, I've been watching 30 Rock, actually. I finished the first season a few days ago, and I started watching the second season over Netflix. I'm enjoying that pretty well.
Nice.
And then as for reading, there's a book series that revolves around a guy named Avery Cates. I've been reading that.
Mm-hmm.
It's written by a guy named Jeff Sommers. Really, really interesting books. First book's called In the Electric Church.
Hmm.
It's about people who worship their religion so much that they decide to have their brains cut out and put into robot bodies so they can worship forever.
Holy crap.
Oh, it's interesting.
Someone stole my idea.
It's already a 4-book series.
Oh, damn. Well, I hope that never happens. And Kyle?
Right now I'm currently beating my addiction on DC Universe Online by playing Dead Space 2. And, yeah, the cool thing about Dead Space 2, especially for the PS3, is that it comes with the Wii Dead Space Extraction for absolutely free.
Nice.
So I got a full retail Wii game for free, and I've just been alternating levels between the two, and they're both phenomenal. Like, this is the first time a railgun shooter has ever legitimately terrified me.
Good. So, I was just about to ask if you've pissed your pants playing the game yet.
Yeah, and what's weird is that the first Dead Space didn't really scare me at all. I mean, it was basically just see a monster coming down, pull out your, the little gun you start out with. I used the first
laser
gun.
Cutter.
Yeah, the entire way through, I didn't switch guns once. I'm like, knock off a leg, knock off your arms. Oh, look, you're dead. This one, like, in the lead up to the game's release, remember how they said that it's going to be a more action-oriented title?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes it scarier because they're just shitting out enemies at you now, and these enemies can run. Like there's these dog-type enemies that peek their heads out from around corners and then jump at you, which alone is terrifying.
If you've played Resident Evil, you know that dogs are never a good thing to have as a video game enemy.
Well, they're not really dogs. They're like, they're kind of human ostrich things.
That's gross.
Yeah. But you knock off their leg and you think, oh, they're going to be slower now. They're not slower. They get up on their hands and start running at you.
Oh, shit.
And you can't hit these guys when they're on their hands. It's really hard to aim. And if you miss your shot, they run away and hide again. So it's just fucking terrifying.
I was scared playing that in a room full of people at Eurogamer. So I'm not buying it. On that basis. Yeah.
No, I played. I was gonna say I played the first one. We got it from GameFly. I think I played it for 10-15 minutes. I was like, fuck this. But I'm playing Singularity.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Well. Everybody's like, oh, Singularity.
I know of the game. It seems good.
It actually is good. It made me shriek like a little girl a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Like, straight up.
And she actually leaped in her chair as well.
Yeah. It's scary. But it's fun.
Seen Black Swan?
Huh?
Anyone seen Black Swan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, that's messed up.
It's typical Aronofsky.
I love the segue.
Yeah.
From Singularity to, hey, have you seen Black Swan? That's messed up.
Two.
Sort of topic of mess media.
Oh. Okay. Well, sweetie, what have you been... I know what you've been doing, but the world doesn't know what you've been doing.
Well,
I know what you've been doing.
Yeah, she watches me. I have spent the last few days almost nonstop playing Two Worlds 2. For review purposes, I almost gave up on it starting out because like I said in the review, my biggest complaint with it is story progression. The first chapter out of four is the longest of the game, and you get the least story progression in it, which is just a really, really bad ratio to have when you're playing 10 hours and you don't really get anywhere in the story. And then you play four more hours and you get the whole story wrapping up.
I'm reminded of Final Fantasy 13.
Oh, God.
Never touched it.
I don't let... We need to just get away from talking about Final Fantasy games because...
I like the Chocobo Ranch in 13. I was watching a friend play it, and he was like, oh, Chocobo Ranch, warg, warg. And I just kind of slowly backed out of the room.
Yeah, no, I mean, here's the thing. I love Final Fantasy games. I like chocobos. I have a chocobo piggy bank. I really liked how you were able to go ahead and, do stuff with the chocobos in Final Fantasy VII. But pretty much after Final Fantasy X, I think the series should have ended. And I'll go into that in a later time in a really nice article that I have in my head. It's not going to be pretty. I love you, Square Enix. Or actually, no, I love you, Square Soft. But is that pretty much...
Yeah, I guess so.
I think we've alienated enough people. Dreamcast fans hate us now. Gears of War fans hate us.
Dreamcast fans hate Jonathan.
Yeah, not us.
Yeah.
Blame me.
You're on your own, buddy.
Gears of War fans can hate Lindsay and myself.
Yeah. And then the Final Fantasy people are going to go ape shit. They're going to be like, how can you say that? Final Fantasy X2 was the best.
I love playing Pretty Pretty Dress Me Up.
Yeah.
Can we put that as a topic next, Lindsay?
Yeah?
Yeah, like Final Fantasy in general.
Yeah. No, I have no problem devoting an entire podcast to Final Fantasy. I'll rip that game to shreds.
Done.
Yeah, it's on now.
Well, today is Friday the 28th. We will have a community game night tonight at 7 p.m. Pacific. For what was it? Left 4 Dead 2.
Even though it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I doubt this will be out before then, and anyone will listen.
Yeah, I was about
to
mention that.
Yeah.
But just to kind of date ourselves here.
Yeah.
Our next community game night will be what? Is it gonna be next week?
Yeah, next Friday.
Okay. Next Friday, which would be the 4th of February.
I guess so.
At 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, the game will be Blur on Xbox 360. Mm-hmm. You can add Lindsay, because since the multiplayer is only one player online, I'm sure she's going to want to play. It'll be X Psylocke.
Mm-hmm. The Marvel comic character. Google it.
You can check us out online at www.maroonersrock.com, MaroonersRock.com. Facebook at facebook.com.
I think just when you just, log into Facebook and search for Marooners Rock and you'll find us.
And then Twitter at twitter.com/Marooners_rock.
Yep.
And I think that covers all of our current access points.
Yeah. But I mean, if you have a question though, that wants to be, you know, that you want to have us, you know, talk about on the podcast, you know, go ahead and message us, you know, or go to the site. You know, there's plenty of ways for you to go ahead and email us. I think that's really about it, even though I didn't talk about what I've been currently doing this week, but you know, that's cool.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, it's basically, I've been watching you play games a lot. I mean, we watched a Social Network. We watched the first episode of Pillars of Earth. We've been watching a lot of TV shows. I've been playing a lot of iPhone apps, like the Treasure Seekers and Treasure Seekers 2. And then this other, just a bunch of Big Fish games and doing a few other things. So, I mean, I really haven't been doing anything too exciting this week.
Okay, cool. Well, we're good to go. let's go get a sandwich or something.
Okay.
All right. That's actually what I'm about to do.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, same bat time, same bat channel next week.
Well, yeah.
Slow motion crotch shot.
Stand straight.
All right.
Yeah, we'll put that in our episode title list for a later episode.
Yes.
Glad to have contributed that.
All right. So all right, cool. That's it.
Sandwich time.
Later on.